Brazil, you're in Kansas, you're in Illinois, all over. And just think what would happen if we began to just release that joy and that glory wherever you are. Just begin to wave and shout glory and let it go over the earth.
was like we were giving this gold to the Lord and our hands were full. And what I realized is the whole earth is full of His glory, and He is glory. He is glory. He is glorious. His goodness is His glory. And it was like everywhere you reached in creation, you could just scoop up this handful of glory and just give it back to Him. And it's like we don't have anything to give but what He already has placed here, what He already is, what He's already filled the earth with. But it was like as all we had to do is reach out into all creation that was so good and so glorious. And then just we lifted it up to Him and our hands were full. So Lord, we bless You. Lord, the whole earth is full of Your glory. We lift up our hands to You. We bring an offering of all the glorious things You've built, You've made. We bring our hands to You, filled with glorious things, all You've made and all You are. We give back to You. We give back to You. And as Your train fills this temple, and the great cloud of witnesses are peeking in, and the angels are singing all around this place, we join in and we cry, holy, 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 You are holy.
Just cry. Lori Grant, Beatrice Hornsby, Suzanne Harrington, and Darson Ruth. You come right out front here. You know, you just couldn't be a better service to send you guys out into. I mean, it's about going out into the glory. It's about going out, taking the glory with you now. Darce and Ruth are going to go all the way from Texas up to Michigan. Ruth's going to go on to Alaska. And, I mean, they're covering the U.S. So Remember, along the way, Darsh does deliverance. Some of you need to get delivered along the way. So get in touch with her and let her know when she's coming. She'll let you know. She'll communicate with you and let you know when she's coming through your area. Lord, we send them out with a glory from this meeting that can cover this whole nation. Pat and Lori, I know Lori is going to El Paso, the Tisa Indians. Texas drove the Indians out. I mean, if there was one state that was very hard on our first people, it was Texas. And yet they drove them into Mexico, but then they came back along the border. They have rights to both sides of the border now. And it is so important that we know that God is bringing Texas as a prototype to this entire nation. And because of that, he's dealing with lots of issues in Texas. Let's thank God for Texas. And Lori, we send you out with the glory. And then Suzanne is going the golden thread journey around the Texas border, along with the Sleeters, and we send her forth. We say there's a glory on the border. And then Beatrice Hornsby is headed to Phoenix to minister to Native people, to First People. We say we're restoring, the glory is going to be restored to the First. We send you forth in Jesus' name. Let's thank God for what he's doing. Two or three people, and you may be seated. Wow. Now, I hope you have your Bible or your phone or whatever you use to see the Word of God. Because I feel like today is really key for us. Several reasons. You know, when you look back at all that has gone on the last year and a half almost now, it's really amazing to see what the Lord has done. You look at how he just shut everything down. Now, I think I have ministered to a lot of people this week, and I believe there is an issue. You have to look deep into your circumstances and find his glory. Now, your circumstances can overwhelm you. Your circumstances can rob you. Your circumstances are real. But there is something much deeper that God is doing in that circumstance. And if you look deep enough, you're going to find his glory. And one of the real issues that I have seen happen since last March, perhaps, I know with me it started more at the beginning of January of last year, is it's been a divine redo. Look at somebody and say, you're just being redone, you know. Now, to be redone, you have to be undone sometimes.
Oh.
And I feel like we had been overdone. Cooked a little too long in the oven. And it was like the Lord was saying, you know, I'm just going to have to redo some things.
Come on.
And I have to look back and say it's probably been one of the most changing times ever that I have experienced, and I have loved just being with him. I feel like my whole life is hearing God, but I feel like I hear him differently now. I feel like I hear him better now. I feel like I see him in a way that I didn't see him. And I can see him when he's moving and when he's around me. I had someone the other day ask me, they came up to me and said, I don't hear the Lord the same way you do. I'm not that in tune. Could you tell me where to go? And I said, if you'll go here and do this, you'll break through and get free. They did it and within minutes broke through. See, I think we have to understand that God is doing something so differently in our lives that He's got a supernatural grace for us right now. And yet, I know that we don't want to miss the pattern for the new that He's doing. How many of you just feel like you're coming into a new place? See, I mean, you have to know that if He shut your life down so you could come into something new. And new in the Word of God means something that has never been before, but it can also be a better quality of what you have ever experienced before. And one important facet in our life is church. Church means gathering. Church is linked with strategeo, coming together, fellowshipping to gain war strategy. I'm not sure we ever fully understood what church was about, because what happens to us, especially in America, and then we try to missionary it all over the world, is that we tried to develop a church that was relative to the culture. That's not what the Lord did. See, the church, the Lord was authentic in the religious world, the business world, the government world. He was just authentic in what He did. He was God. But He was man, and He displayed what He was about wherever He was. In other words, we just don't need to come to church and try to be in church. We need to, wherever we are, be church. And so, I did something last week that was really a blessing. I read the all four Gospels. And when you do that, you get a clarity that when you just read them through and read them together, you get a clarity of what He's trying to do and what He's trying to accomplish, and how the story is evolving from a shutdown. Now, hear what I'm saying to you. Into the future. And you see how things were shut down for 400 years for them. Tell somebody I'm glad it was just a few months. I mean, it was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. And We only had a few months where we were pulled aside to get a different vision. And I can still remember when the Lord, it was I think last Pentecost, not this Pentecost, but last June-ish, when we were up here doing one of the services that we were broadcasting, and all of a sudden the Lord flashed and everything had been taken down, and He said, now, start over. And I mean, we had just gotten everything in place after 8 years. And yet, I knew the Lord had a different plan, that if we didn't obey and go through the crisis of the work phase of this, we would not come in to the new place that He had for us. See, in spiritual life, you're going to have to understand it's just not all worship. Work is a part of spiritual life. Meditation is a part of spiritual life. Warfare is a part of spiritual life. See, in possessing your inheritance, I list the 8 things that make up spiritual life. Giving is a part of spiritual life. If you don't give, which you're free never to give, but don't think the Spirit of God will move through you, because the Spirit is a generous spirit, the Word of God says. See, giving is a part of spiritual life. And you have to see how to move with God's order so that you can break through. We're in a place right now, I see that we're on the verge of some great breakthroughs. I do see that lots of people in this last shutdown, which I have to be real honest, we kept moving. And I can't say we weren't cautious, but I can't say that we drew back either. And yes, I got lots of flack for that. Brian was just with Cheon. They started meeting in California against the government's rule. And he said, you'd be surprised the hate mail we got from Christian people. And same way. But yet, I don't think I ever got presumptive either by putting us at risk, because I tried to only do what the Lord was telling us to do, to keep advancing until we could get back in the place that He had for us. And to encourage all of you out there on the web that just to keep going. Keep going. You have a place here that is a portal for revelation. But in the process, we have come to a new place. Brian and I's new office has been established down in where the artifact room, where the reception used to be. You know, we've had to shift our order here. We've had to move into our place so we can accomplish things more efficiently. We have a generation that has now done 2 incredible productions for us. We have a school has been raised up. But not only that, there's people now that I'm seeing you, and all I care about is that you come into what you're called to be. I don't care about anything else. Someone said, why don't you just tell us what to do? I don't tell people what to do very often. I think you are if you're seeking God, He's got the path for you. Now, I can tell you if you're not doing something, or if you're blatantly going in a wrong direction, but I'm not here to try to be God in your life. I am here to be an apostolic figure, a prophetic figure in your life that is an example of having no fear and being filled with faith. That is my role in your life. And I try not to have fear, and I know when I don't hear faith. Well, and if I don't know it, I'm sure Pam or Keith will tell me. So you see what I mean? We are here to keep moving. We are here to keep displaying one thing, His glory. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever situation you're in. And so that brings me to today, and I want to begin at the end. That's what I want to do. Because I went, and I want you to say out loud, a new church is arising.
A new church is arising.
Now look at two or three people and say, I'm part of the new. And so we want to see how are we moving. I will say the Lord over the last year and 4 months has had me focus on the church. My focus has been worldwide and the nations. It has not been just the local church. And the Lord said, I want you to start here first. I hope He allows me to go back to the nations. But I am content where He has me until He does. And I have enjoyed being with you. Let's thank God for you. That includes John Dixon. Yeah. I asked John one morning, I said, do you just come in at 10 o'clock every day? He said, no, I get up early. I seek the Lord early. And I said, do you just go back to bed and go to sleep? He said, no, I don't do that till I get up here. And I said, well, at least we know there's some things that don't change. Now, in this era that we're in, we're moving from wisdom. Now, wisdom is key. Don't get me wrong. Wisdom is the first thing. You learn through experience. You gain wisdom. Wisdom helps you execute. Wisdom dismantles demons. But we're moving into a new level of revelation. See, revelation must come before wisdom for the next season can be developed. And this is really important for you. Because if you try to just always lean on your wisdom, you're going to end up leaning on your own understanding. Because you have developed an understanding. You have had teaching from the past that's been good. But in a new season, the Lord brings new revelation. See, wisdom establishes, revelation uncovers. So until you are moving in and uncovering what needs to be uncovered for you, it's hard for you to establish how you're going to walk in. And so revelation is key, and out of revelation, we began to figure out how we're going to stand for the future. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 16. This is at the end of the Lord's 3 years with His disciples. That's what I said I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the end and then go back to the beginning. Because I'm not sure we have a real clear perspective of what was really going on, and we're in a similar situation right now. See, in this new era, we are coming into a whole new Holy Spirit movement. And you say, well, the Holy Spirit's been here before the world was ever brought into order. Yes, He has. It's not a new Holy Spirit, but it's how we're going to move in Holy Spirit in this season and the wineskin that it's going to take for this explosive kingdom movement. See, so all of a sudden, that's a lot being said right there. Holy Spirit is going to start moving in a new way, but for Holy Spirit to move in a new way, He's going to require a wineskin, a structure, to pour revelation into. See, wine pours into a wineskin. And He's requiring us, and it's not a building. But we're thankful that He's given us a place to gather. That's part of church. But in the same vein, He's having to make a way to pour into us. So from our gathering church, we explode into a kingdom movement. See, he's just gathering us so we explode. Look at somebody and say, you got a fuse about ready to be lit. That's why I listen carefully when people come to me and say they want to do this. I can hear, you know, that thing's got a, that's a powder keg that could get lit. And I say, yeah, go try that. Yeah, go do that. And let me tell you something, people. If you ever are afraid to fail, you're never going to accomplish anything.
Come on. Come on.
Now, that ain't nothing but pride. That is nothing but pride. You are going to have to get to a place where you're learning from every loss in your life. You're learning from every mistake in your life. So that you are going to break into and explode. Everybody say explode. See, that's a biblical word. And you're never too old to explode.
Come on.
You're never too young to explode.
Let the generation say explode.
Now, and so, here in Matthew 16, now, they've gone 3 years with the Lord. He has stayed with them every day, except when he said, I got to get away from them and go up to the mountain and pray. I do that sometimes. They'll say, where's all the people around you? And I'll say, they're giving me a break. I got to be away from them. And He was with these people daily, teaching them. And in the midst of it, he finally asked them a question in Matthew 16. He says, what's the people saying about me? What are you saying about me? And all of a sudden, Peter, after being with him for 3 years, says, you're the Christ. Where John the Baptist recognized it at the beginning when he was baptized, but then forgot it as he went through the following trials of his life. And all of a sudden, Peter has come alive with revelation. And the Lord says, only the Lord could have revealed, only the Father could have revealed that to you. You couldn't have gotten that on your own. You couldn't have gotten that just by me being with you. You couldn't have gotten that just by me teaching you. You couldn't have gotten that over the last 3 years, me doing everything I've been doing, unless Father revealed it to you.
Yes.
Now look at somebody and say, get ready for a revelation. See, that's one of the fallacies we've had in church. Well, if the pastor doesn't give it, if the priest doesn't give it, if they don't tell me what to read, I can't get it. Unless Father reveals it to you, you ain't going to get it. You can hear it without a preacher, you can't hear. That's what Romans says. But here, all of a sudden, the Lord then begins to prophesy to all these disciples, and it's at Philippi, Caesarea Philippi. And in the midst of it, he says to them, the darkest place of the darkest place, where the pandemic, it's where the God of Pan is worshipped. It's sort of what started happening with us last March. The God of the pandemic is worshipped there. And here, Father breaks through to bring revelation about the future. And all of a sudden, the Lord begins to prophesy and say, upon that revelation, I will build my ecclesia, my church. Well, you have to understand, they didn't even know what he was talking about. The only concept of church they had was synagogue. And all the legalism. And all the rules. They had been aware of a move of God through John the Baptist. But they had no concept of this word that the Lord Yeshua was speaking to them. Yahweh was speaking to them at this time by saying, upon this revelation, I'm going to build your future so that hell can't take you out. Now look at somebody next to you and say, he was talking to you right there. That wasn't just to Peter. That was one of those prophecies that went all the way through the ages. And he said, you're going to have to gain the keys to the kingdom to unlock it. In other words, we build a church, we're setting up a structure for sons and daughters to be added to, and that's what the word means, but you're going to have to gain keys for the unlocking of the kingdom. Very much the same prophecies that came forth. Church and kingdom are two different things. A lot of churches become kingdoms.
Wow.
And that's why they're hard to unlock.
Wow.
And a lot of churches won't allow the rebuilding process to go on. Just like, think about some of us. We like to get our little space in order and never change it. Well, that's not the whole concept here. The Lord was using a Roman term to tell them what they were going to look like. And he had been teaching them for 3 years how they were going to have to move forward into this identity. You have been going through a process. If you will go back and outline it, you're going to see what God's been carrying you through. You're going to see what he's been doing with you personally. You're going to see how he's been developing you for the future. You're going to see why he's been shifting you, what he's been doing, things that's been going on. Think about when I received the word from Cindy Jacobs at the beginning of 2020 when she said, you're not going to be traveling this year. Well, my whole life has been travel. I just finished 575,000 miles from the last year and had the whole year scheduled. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt her word was from the Lord. But I didn't try to go and tell Brian, all right, cancel my whole. I just said, the Lord will have to do this. And he'll have to do it in me. And I'll have to learn new ways. And I'll have to learn how to do things that I have delegated to others, and then I'll delegate other things I've been doing to others. I mean, it was really an incredible awakening to a new life after 40 years of one type of life. See, you have to think about it. He's not going to ask you to go through something that he hadn't already put somebody else through. And so, in this, Peter now has revelation, but when it comes time for the Lord to say, well, now that you've got revelation, I can just go on. I can go to Jerusalem and do what I was sent to do. Peter turned on him because he had no wisdom or understanding in his revelation and said, I forbid you to do that. And the Lord looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Satan can manifest in anybody around you.
Amen.
Anybody. Look at somebody next to you and say, he's manifesting anybody. See, Peter had gotten into the new, but it goes here to say, the Lord looks at him and says, you're not mindful of how you're thinking. But the new had not transformed his thinking process. See, you can get in the new. You can say you're in the new all day long, but your thinking process is going to have to demonstrate the new. You can't just say, I believe, demons believe. You're going to have some sort of demonstrative action to go with it. A big word. Well, you know, I did get several degrees. You went forever and parted, but gained a lot of wisdom. See, God can teach us wisdom whichever way we go. Hey, and you don't have to have all these degrees to be the smartest person on earth.
Thank God.
Now, hear what I'm saying to you. But we all do, at a certain time, have to decide, are we going into the new? Now, with that, I want to go back and remind you of something. So go back to Matthew 3. Now, Brian, go ahead, and let's go quickly. See, God has an order for your restoration, your prosperity, and your breakthrough. You're going to have to find that order. And Holy Spirit is trying to guide you into that order. Authorities are trying to help you get into that order. See, I like the scripture that says, I choose the pastors after my heart for you. See, a lot of you don't want any authority in your life. You can't get into your breakthrough without some authority in your life. I remember immediately after my dad died, God put me under authority. It was one of the policemen of our area who was my uncle. And I learned to submit. And every time I could see the Lord, because I got under his authority, I could see the Lord every time I would deviate out from under his authority. And then I watched him transfer that authority over and over in my life. So I can honestly say I've never not been under anyone until Peter died. That was the very first time. A human authority, all of a sudden, I'm left in authority. And I've had to say, all right, Lord, now how do I make the transition by honoring where I've been, but proceeding into what you're doing with me today as we move forward? See, you have to recognize certain things in your life if you're going to live in breakthrough. Now, here's something else. Last week, I explained that there is a first principle. That's why we do first fruits. Without first fruits, and that was the first thing God revealed to me when I was 18 years old. I'll refill your barns, and I'll heal your body. I was under oxygen in the hospital, and my dad had died a premature death, and we, which had a lot, were in a bad place. And God put me in with this Pentecostal pastor that told me to read the Bible. And he introduced me to Holy Spirit. Now, just because I was introduced to Holy Spirit, I had to get to know Holy Spirit. I still have to get to know Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to show you that in just a second. But the first scripture God ever quickened in me was, if you will give your first fruits, I'll refill your barns, I will restore all that you've lost, and I'll heal your body. So it wasn't some new thing that I decided to do after I got in church by giving first fruits. I had to come to know what first fruits were. It is the best of my lump. I look at my lump at a certain time, and I give the best of that lump. That's how simple it is. It's not my tithe. It's the best of my lump. And do you know what Romans says? And that's New Testament. So you don't have to get under all that. Well, giving's not in the New Testament. Romans says if you give your first fruit, if you give the best of your lump, he'll bless your whole lump. So that became a process of discipline, of spiritual life, that kept me going from breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough. Till I need to break through this month. I couldn't do what we do if I didn't have this principle built inside of me. And so here's all the first concepts of the Word of God. A lot of people don't understand first people. I remember the first time I taught on it in Oklahoma in 1993, I thought I was going to be tarred and feathered and run out of the town. Because there's something in us that don't want to, and inside of our emotional structure and our will, we don't want to recognize the order of God. See, God is sovereign. You can't take away His role in your life, whether you decide to know Him or not. Now, I'm going to say that one more time. You don't ever have to come to know Him. But He's still the Lord of your life. He still created your spirit. He still has longed for you to come back to Him. Once He allowed you to be set into time, because He knew you before time, then He knew when to set you into time so you could represent Him or defy Him. And yes, we make lots of mistakes. God doesn't look at all that. He looks at when you willfully turn away from His development in you and reject what He's trying to do with you. And when you do that, you're going to go through hard things. And many of us could testify to that. And so, in the midst of it, He has a first principle. What that word means is that's where the prototype comes from. And at every, now here's the sentence I want you to get. At every new season in your life, He comes back to bring the first principle and prototype for your future through you so it can be demonstrated. He wants to work with you new and fresh more than you want to see Him work with you new and fresh. It's amazing what He takes us through. And so, once I came, I've used this chart for so many years. That's why I said this year people will learn about Shabbat. You don't have to watch it. You don't have to enter into it. But sooner or later, if you want a breakthrough, you'll have to come back to Shabbat. It's in Isaiah 58. Now, I don't care how you come back to it. I don't care if you do it on Wednesday, because I'm not religious. But some way or another, you're going to have a Shabbat thinking within you developed. And if you don't, your light will not break forth. That's what the Word of God says. Garden has to be first. My wife and this team, the last 2 weeks, and especially since the freeze, and especially the last 2 weeks, they have had to go back to the first and say, this didn't make it. This has to change. Things have to move. See, you're always going back to a first principle. An apostle is a governing. God did not choose pastors to be first. I'm sorry. And I'm a good pastor. I like people. There's a lot that don't like people. I really enjoy people. But apostles have a governing, warring authority about them. You're going to have that in your life if you're going to break through. I do not strive to be that in people's lives, because I'm going to show you why now. Because I know the prototype the Lord in those 3 years was trying to create. Now, that's what brought me to reading all four Gospels. I said, you know, I'm always using the whole Bible to bring the first principle. But Monday morning, I got up, and I knew I was just to read through all four Gospels. That's one of my jobs for you, is to seek the Lord. And I knew I was to read through all four Gospels to see what He was trying to do in those disciples to get them to understand the new. Because they didn't get it. When He raised Lazarus from the dead, He looked at him and said, how long are you going to be with me? I have tried to explain everything to you for 3 years, and you hadn't gotten a thing. See, he had spent all this time creating a prototype. Peter got it. It lasted for 15 minutes, and then he looked at Peter in Matthew 16 and said, you're going to have to be sifted, buddy, because you have got so much in your own thinking process and emotions, you'll never be what you've been being trained for 3 years unless Satan sifted out of you. And you think sometimes one of us says something hard to you? I mean, Jesus filleted them half the time. Because you just want to look at it. My gosh, they are dumb. They're not thinking. They haven't noticed anything. So, this is what I went through. Here's what developed the prototype for upon this rock I will build my church. Remember, when it was time, everybody say time. Now, here's what Issachar is about. When it was time, the Lord knew He had to go back and connect with last season so He could come forward. That's one thing. Because John, in the midst of all that had been going on, was just baptizing people because they needed to repent. We do need to repent. Tell somebody we need to repent. And He would baptize them. He would say, you snake, you're going under. See? And they would come out from everywhere. And He would baptize them. That was the move of God. Wasn't anything wrong with that move of God. If you wanted to get in the move of God, that was the move of God. And the Lord knew His first step was to connect with last season. Now, some of you are trying to get into the new without seeing the divine connection from the last season. Don't do that. You're going to have to see how you're connected. Yeshua knew all these prophecies about the kingdom. He knew the book of Isaiah. He was a rabbi, as Rabbi told us last week. He knew everything. He was an incredible teacher, but he also knew, I'm going to have to go out and get in this move of God because it is prophesied I'm going to get a new baptism. Tell somebody a new baptism.
New baptism.
The only way you can get a new baptism is to come out of the old baptism. So he went back, he got in the old baptism. John saw him and said, I know you. You don't even fit this move of God. And the Lord said, unless I get in it, I can't go into the new. You can't just get rid of the old to get into the new. And so he goes, and John baptizes him. You know why? Because there was a prophecy that John's baptism would be of repentance and the new baptism would have fire in it. Everybody say fire. And the only way it could have fire was that there had to be the Spirit of God come down in a new way. Look at somebody and say, we're looking for fire in this new season.
Fire!
Here's the next major thing. At every new divided moment, there is an open heaven somewhere. It happened with Peter when Father revealed itself to him. It happened with Yeshua. All of a sudden, the heavens open. The Lord God Father speaks, and all of a sudden, the Spirit comes down on him. Here was the prototype being developed. We're going to have an open heaven every time we go into a new season with a Spirit-led life. The Spirit came down on him. You could see it. You could hear it. All of a sudden, the atmosphere shifted. When you hear those prophecies this morning, the atmosphere shifted.
Yes.
Then, the Spirit's first assignment to create the new prototype. Hear what I just said to you. The Spirit's first assignment from Father to the Son to create the new prototype was, I'm going to lead you into the wilderness. Part of the new is called wilderness warfare. That means you're always in the new, going to have a place that you're going through the middle, the midbar. And in the midst of it is where Satan, your enemy, and the Lord brought that into the mix of the new. Satan is always going to be in the mix of your new.
Wow.
It's a prototype.
Wow.
A lot of people would love never to have any warfare or never have to face the enemy off. Ain't going to happen. It's part of every new season. Somebody needs to tell you so you're not so confused. So you're not so idealistic. And all of a sudden, He's led into the wilderness by the Spirit, but he comes out with power. Everybody say power is part of the new.
Power! Say power! Say power!
That was how that prototype began its formation. And remember, it's always attempting to bring forth something that's been prophesied into reality. And so, once the Lord gets out with power, everybody say power.
Power.
He said, I'm going to have to find some new relationships. I'm going to have to find who really wants to go with me into this next season. Because I know everybody is not going to want to walk in this prototype that Father is creating. So I'm going to have to find some people. I'm going to have to find, and you know who he started with? Only two left the last wineskin. Andrew and Philip. All the rest of them stayed with John. John didn't leave the last wineskin. Let me tell you something. Some of your best friends ain't going to go on where you're going.
Preach that, CP. Come on. Come on.
It's just that some of us have been so pulverized and torn apart and sifted by the Spirit of God, we wouldn't know how to go backwards if we tried. So we might not know where we're going, but we know it ain't back where we've come from.
Come on. Hallelujah.
And what you have to find are those in relation with you that's going to go with you. I looked at Brian Losey last week. 8 years ago he got saved. He thought, all I want to do is get my life cleaned up. Now he's on a mission trip to Honduras. I can say I think he's going to keep going on into the new.
Yes, yes.
And so he gets two of John's disciples that's going, and that ain't enough. Because he knows he's got to get a group that is going to be able to carry on the prototype. He goes into a tax office. Now, I'm not sure I would even be that free. He goes to a bar. He goes and gets people out, the fishermen. You know what some of those fishermen are like. But they're all wanting to form a relationship with what they're seeing as the new evolves. Everybody say evolve. I think some of you get lost in the evolution of the new. That is not a bad word. It means things around you are changing. And it's not easy, but you're seeing the changes. So this is what begins this new movement. And then I'm just going to give you a list. And Robert's going to teach from it. All through the Word of God. James is going to teach from it. Robin's going to teach from it. Linda, Ann, Chad. Chad's going to do miracles from it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, you've got to say, now wait a minute. God said this about me. Now I don't know how I'm going to get in there. But you need to get going. And so, here comes the list for you. That he said, let me try to teach these people. And I think we keep saying, Lord, we want miracles. There were groupings of miracles all through the Word of God. It wasn't just a miracle. There was the first miracle. There was the first healing miracle. There was the first miracle of showing power over nature. There was the first resurrection miracle. See, we've got to know that we are seeing new prototypes come. And I think what we're trying to do is want miracle if somebody needs healing. That ain't... It's so much more incredible than that. What God is doing around us. I can still remember when a tornado was coming straight for our house. And, you know, the sirens were going off. We were told to get in the bathroom. Rebecca went out. She was, I think, 15. Went out and started screaming to the top of her lungs at this tornado that was coming. Telling it was not going to take her out. Pointing at it and say, you're going to go that way. Screaming like a banshee. Yes, I could have gone out and said, this girl off. But I watched and I said, you know, I might as well get in on this.
Come on.
I wasn't bold enough to do that, what she was doing. She did not want to be taken out by a tornado. She went absolutely bat crazy out against that tornado using the name of Jesus, plus a few other words. Telling it wasn't coming near her road, near her house, and it was going to go through that field right over there. And I said, you know, this is a new move of God with the next generation. I'm just going to go out there and stand, you know. I'm going to see if this thing works out for us. Instead of going hiding out in the bathroom. I can remember this clear as a bell. I thought, this is new. I'm going to go with the new. You know what? It turned. It came across where this antique mall is and was headed toward us and turned. Just like that. She dropped down on her knees and began to praise God, scream, thank the Lord, tell him he was sorry for the she was sorry for the other words she had said in the process. You see, that's how we move into the new. Now, lots of first miracles. But the first one was changing the water and the wine. And he always had a purpose for doing it. He wanted to shift their religious thinking. That was first. Bring me your pots for purification. Fill them full of water like you do every Shabbat. And then he turned that religious ritual into a party.
Come on.
And you know what? I don't even think he wanted to do it, but his mother needed it. And father loved his mother enough to say, son, go do this. You need to show them there's a party that is going. And then he said he did it for two reasons. To start the display of his glory. That's what we were prophesying today. You're always going to have a moment where you see his glory. And then from there, he wanted his disciples to start believing in him. That's what it says right there in the Word of God. You know why? Because 3 years later, he wasn't going to have anybody else to leave the next move of God to. And they were clueless. Then he did the first healing miracle, and the first miracle over nature, and the first resurrection miracle. Then he had, and I found this really interesting, he had to go back to last season's church and clean it out. He had to start it back over. You know why? Because they were charging for everybody to get in. You, to get into church, you were having to come through and buy all of your offerings, and they were charging exorbitant prices so people could worship. So he said, let me start the new by showing you how to take down the old. Then he says, let me go back to the synagogue first to show you how demonized the last season was. And all of a sudden he cast the demon out of the priest. That's in Mark chapter 1. The first demon he cast out was in the priest that was running last season's church. Then he said, now these boys ain't going to get it, and women, because they were women disciples, people. Don't think that's a man thing. I'm going to show you that in a moment. He said, they're not going to understand this if I don't do some storytelling and use some pictures. So he started telling all these parables. The first parable is the seed and the sower. That makes that parable a prototype parable for all parables. And you know, I'll hear people say, well, I don't understand it. They didn't understand any of it. No one's trying to make us understand everything. We hear it by the Spirit, and then all of a sudden we say, there's a message in that. There's a lesson in that. There's something God's trying to say to me through that, and I'm not going to let my brain kick in until my spirit gets it. Then he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to just hang with the Jews here. Because he was sent for the Jews. He said, I'm going to have to bring some other people in, but the only way they're going to get in is by demonstrating faith. So he comes to this Syrophoenician. Here comes this Syrophoenician woman who demonstrates such faith that the Lord shifts from the Jews to her. Here comes the centurion soldier who demonstrates such faith that he says, I've been all through Israel. I know everybody that's in Israel, and I haven't seen greater faith than you have because you understand authority. So see, he didn't exclude anyone that wanted to follow. He went to the Samaritan woman. That's a racial issue. But let me tell you, that woman dropped her pot and then led the whole city to the Lord. Then led the whole region to the Lord. And when he met her, she was sleeping with everybody. Listen, we're going to have to get past a lot of stuff to get into the kingdom move. Everybody say the kingdom move. Go ahead, Brian. Let's finish. He said, I've got to have somebody. I have got to have somebody that can really see what I'm doing these 3 years. Because let me tell you something, these disciples, they ain't getting it. So he found a woman who was so demonized, and she went for him to follow him, and he cast all those demons out of her. That woman was his number one disciple who could see every move he made.
Wow. Wow.
He tells his disciples after his resurrection, if you'd have listened to the woman and the women, you'd have been able to see that I've already resurrected. But you never would listen to the women. Hear me. You're going to have to read it the way it's written.
Come on.
Not the way you want it written. He said you wouldn't believe the women when they told you. It's me. I'm back. I prophesied to you. You saw me kill, but you couldn't get the prophecy, but she could. Therefore, all I had to do was dress up like a gardener and speak, and she got it. See, that's how you get it. You learn his voice. He taught kingdom. He said, we'll build a church, but you're going to have to unlock the kingdom. He had a first act of multiplication. He put that seed parable into motion, and he brought forth fish that couldn't be found the day before, and then he multiplied by bringing it before the Lord, giving and breaking it open. All of a sudden, he multiplied it so much, those loaves and fishes, that they could not contain it.
Amazing.
Big difference when healing is linked with grace. Not just the grace of healing, but when all of a sudden you're going to have to be forgiven to get healed. When he displayed that, the Pharisees went ballistic on it. It was the woman. It was the man they brought down through the ceiling, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." When he said that, it was pure blasphemy. He had pushed. They loved. They even tolerated his healing, but they didn't tolerate his healing through forgiveness. And there's some people who won't be healed if they're not forgiven, or if they're not forgiving to others. You won't get healed. Somebody needs to tell you that. He resurrected. He is the only one that we know that visited for. That's what we're walking in right now. The visitation of his resurrection. Robert, you ought to speak on that. And then he finally said, well, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if they're going to ever get it or not. But I'm going to have to send them forth into the new. Because they're all I got. Look at somebody and say, I think he's talking about us. So what he does is he blows on them. He does what Ann prophesied this morning. He goes through a locked door into where they're hiding out because of their fear and not wanting to go into the next phase of their call. They didn't want to go into it. They would have loved for it all to end right then. But not the woman. Not the women. They said, we got to keep this thing going. So what he did was he blew on what he had been creating the prototype of. And all of a sudden, it comes alive. And he stays around with them. He stays a complete 40 days with them. Finally, he knows, he gives them a new call. Peter, it took Peter 3 years to realize that the fishing incident was about his call, and then all that he had gone through, and now he was finally saying, Peter, are you called? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then he said, feed my sheep. And Peter finally said, well, I don't know. Only you know, Lord. Finally, after those 40 days, something happens. And all of a sudden, the new begins. See, the new has been going on. The new's been going on with you. Everything you've been going through has been new. But all of a sudden, it had to be demonstrated. See, that's the difference. All of a sudden, Peter had to preach. All of a sudden, Peter and John had to raise the man, the lame man at Beautiful Gate. All of a sudden, everything that had been put in them for 3 years had to come alive. That's what God's doing with us. He's put so much in so many of you. I look at you. I listen to you. He wants to bring it into life. He wants to bring it into demonstration. It's not about you telling everybody at church what you're doing. It's about you doing it. Let's stand up. God is doing a new thing in us. He's doing it in you. He's been working in you greatly. He's creating a new prototype for us. How will it be demonstrated? Just let Him move on you. Let Him move with you. Let Him do something peculiar with you this week. Let Him do something peculiar this time as you drive to Michigan. Let Him do something along the border very peculiar this time. He's been working on you to demonstrate the new. Put your hand on somebody and say it over them. He's been working on you to demonstrate the new. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You You're breaking us through. We thank You that we're coming into a demonstration of healing, miracles, power, authority. Some of us are going to preach in ways we've never preached before. Some of us are going to teach. Some of us are going to say, you know, He also said, go find that one lost sheep. Some of you are going to go out there and find one lost sheep and say, you just need to come on in to the kingdom. Not to church. Into the kingdom. There is a kingdom calling you. Some of you are going to change your cities. Jesus overthrew powers and principalities at the gates of cities. Some of you are going to change the course of this world and turn it upside down. Let's give a shout. I blow on you and I send you forth to be new. Bless two or three people and say, this thing is just starting and it's going to steamroll before it's over.